Hello, you are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. A very happy All Hallows Eve to you. This is the 500th anniversary of when Martin Luther sent his 95 theses denouncing what he saw as abuses of the Catholic Church, especially the sale of the indulgences to the Archbishop of Mainz, Germany. By some accounts, Luther also posted these theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, marking the start of the Protestant Reformation. I thought I might come on and talk just a little bit about the history of the Protestant Reformation and some of the interesting effects that has had on history. Now, just to provide a very brief overview, the Protestant Reformation was a 16th century religious, political, and intellectual cultural upheaval that ended up splintering Catholic Europe and setting in place the structures and beliefs that would define the continent even to this modern era. In Northern and Central Europe, reformers like Martin Luther, John Calvin, and Henry VIII ended up challenging papal authority and questioned the Catholic Church's ability to define Christian practices. They argued for a religious and political redistribution of power into the hands of the Bible-reading, pamphlet-reading pastors and princes. This disruption triggered wars, prosecutions, and the so-called Counter-Reformation from the Catholic Church's delayed but forceful response to the Protestants. So it's hard to understate the importance of this event historically. Most historians date the start of the Protestant Reformation to the 1517 publication of Martin Luther's 95 Theses. The ending of the Protestant Reformation is a little bit more tricky to place. However, a lot of people put it in 1555 during the Peace of Augsburg, which allowed for the coexistence of Catholicism and Lutheranism in Germany. Personally, though, I put it at 1648 in the Treaty of Westphalia, which ended the 30 Years' War. The key ideas of the Protestant Reformation were a call to purify the church and a belief that the Bible, not tradition, should be the sole source of spiritual authority. These were not actually especially new ideas at the time, but using printing presses and pamphlets, Martin Luther and the other reformers became the first to reach a wider audience with the message. Now, to touch briefly on Martin Luther, was an Augustinian monk. He was originally actually slated to be a lawyer at his father's request, but when he was 21, he ended up becoming an Augustinian monk. Now, as a monk, his primary focus, personally, was purity. He had an obsession with being pure enough for God and wondering if he could do more to become more pure spiritually. With that in mind, it's not a big question why he took such exception to the idea of indulgences or this idea that the church could sell penance to the people that would buy it. It was commodification of his spiritual journey. Now, he was so upset about these indulgences that he ended up writing the 95 Theses, which in addition to condemning those indulgences, also questioned the authority of papal power. Although he had hoped to spur renewal from within the church, in 1521 he was summoned before a diet in a town called Worms, what we now call the Diet of Worms, and he ended up getting excommunicated by Pope Leo. This didn't really slow him down, though. He ended up getting shelter in Saxony and went on to translate the Bible into German. Now, when German peasants, inspired in part by Luther's empowering priesthood of all believers, revolted in 1524, Luther, of course, sided with Germany's princes. By the Reformation's end, Lutheranism had become the state religion throughout much of Germany, Scandinavia, as well as the Baltics. Now, of course, the Protestant Reformation ended up causing the Counter-Reformation. The Catholic Church of the Counter-Reformation era grew more spiritual, more literate, and more educated in an effort to appeal to more people that were being drawn to Protestantism. The new Catholic Church became more rigorously spiritual and had a globally minded intellectualism. It wasn't all good news, though, as the Counter-Reformation, of course, also led to the Inquisitions in both Spain and Rome, which were reorganized to fight the threat of Protestant heresy. That will have to be a story for another day, though, I suppose. Along with the religious consequences of the Reformation and Counter-Reformation came a deep and lasting political change to much of Europe. Northern Europe's new religious and political freedoms came at a great cost, with decades of rebellions, wars, and bloody persecutions. The 30 Years' War alone may have cost Germany 40% of its population. But the Reformation's positive reproduction can be seen in the intellectual and cultural flourishing it inspired on all sides of the schism. In the strengthened universities in Europe, the Lutheran Church music of J.S. Bach The Baroque altarpieces of Peter Paul Rubens, and even the capitalism of Dutch Calvinist merchants. Much of the culture that came as a result of the Protestant Reformation defines what we call American culture today. Well, thank you for joining me. This has been just a tiny, tiny bit about the Protestant Reformation. We could probably talk about this particular subject and its far-reaching implications for hours at a time. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Remember, if you like these history segments, you can find them online at kggfradio.com. Just click on the Community tab and go down to On Demand and find a history segment that looks interesting to you.